The scriptures tell us that God made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. God most definitely has ways, and it behooves his people to learn them. This doesn't mean that you'll always figure everything out God may be doing in your life, but knowing the ways of God goes a long ways toward making life more enjoyable and less fearful. One of the most fascinating ways of God has to do with his slowness and speed as he deals with his children in response to their prayers and desires. The Bible reveals something that sounds a bit paradoxical, that God is slow and fast. The scriptures give a great deal of evidence for this. Time permits only the briefest study, but once you see the principle, you'll begin to recognize a great many other verses that support this truth, as well as identifying it abundantly in your own experience. That is, if you've walked with God for more than a month or so. One of Jesus' parables is a prime example of this concept of the slowness and speed of God. We read in Luke of a widow who was determined to get justice from an adversary that had done her wrong. She went to a judge who neither feared God nor regarded man, and he blew her off. Not to be ignored, she kept coming back again and again, until finally, out of annoyance, the judge ruled in her favor and gave her what she asked. This unjust judge said to himself, "Because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." The parable has a wealth of truth packed in it, and it's always intrigued me. We're told at the beginning by Luke what Jesus' intent was in giving the parable. He states, "He spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart." The point of it all is to encourage us to pray. The implication here is that it is possible and even natural to lose heart in our praying. The reason losing heart is so easy is that prayers don't always get answered immediately. If we had an answer to our request on our doorstep by the next morning, none of us would ever lose heart. But that's usually not the case. Or if we saw our situation improve noticeably after every prayer session, we'd never be discouraged. But what about those times when things do not improve or may even get worse? And what happens when we've been praying for months and still no sign of an answer from heaven? Luke tells us this is why Jesus gave us this parable. It's important to note that eventually the woman gets exactly what she wants. And it's fascinating to hear how Jesus makes application of it to our lives. He says, "Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily." The last two sentences seem to be contradictory. If God is bearing long with us, how is it that he'll avenge us speedily? Here we see the slowness and speed of God. Often in our lives, he seems to be in far less hurry than we are, moving at a snail-like pace. Yet there are other times when he can and does act with blazing speed that makes our heads spin. Slow and then fast. This is one of the ways of God, and knowing this can help you make sense of many situations that otherwise would seem to make no sense at all. This principle is described in another of Jesus' parables. He states, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night, and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow, he himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." Plant maturation is a slow process. Go out into a freshly planted cornfield. Pull up a rocking chair and wait for the plants to appear. Well, I hope you bring a good book, or two or three. Days will pass with no apparent activity. If you're sitting there as a cheerleader, trying to talk the seeds into springing forth, you'll soon be frustrated. They'll take their time, and there's precious little that can be done to hurry the process. After a number of days, little tiny green blades of corn slowly break through the surface of the ground, but the growth is completely imperceptible. If we could pretend that the little corn shoot has a personality, he might well be complaining about the terrible slowness of his growth. And to make matters worse, the farmer seems to pay very little attention to him. He's busy with other matters and seems to have forgotten his little corn shoots. If only the farmer would come and harvest him! It's getting very old standing in this dirty field day after day. Surely he's destined for greater things. Perhaps the young plant decides to persuade the farmer through calling out, in corn language, of course. Calling out to the farmer, he pleads and whines and begs and snivels. Still, nothing moves the farmer. He wisely ignores the corn, knowing that his time has not come yet. In the mind of the little corn shoot, his farmer has to be the slowest man on earth. After months of waiting and gradual maturation, something miraculous happens. Ears of corn appear on the plants. The farmer, who's been watching carefully, recognizes that the time of harvest has come. Suddenly, this man, who appeared so slow and so unconcerned, moves into action. The combine is put in working order, and in a very short time, that farmer's out in the fields, working furiously to get the crop in. He may work late into the night, he may skip meals, but he's determined that he will harvest his crop. Jesus puts it this way, "But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." This speaks of the seasons of our lives. God often appears not only slow to change things, but even oblivious and unconcerned. But appearance is not reality. If that farmer had tried to harvest the corn when it was 1 foot tall, he might have looked like he was farming, but in truth he'd be nothing but ruining the crop. There was no grain at that stage. He could have gone over his fields with a combine 20 times without harvesting even a single ear of corn. He wasn't slow. He was, in fact, smart. He had a definite goal in mind, and he wasn't about to jeopardize his harvest merely to give the appearance of activity or to satisfy his bored corn plants. Only when the grain ripened was he ready to act. But once that occurred, he demonstrated that he could move with lightning speed when the time was right. A real-life biblical example of this truth can be seen in the life of Joseph. Because of their jealousy, Joseph's brothers sold him to Midianite traders when he was 17 years old. He would spend the next 13 years as a slave of Potiphar and then a prisoner after Potiphar's wife falsely accused him of attempted rape. Both in slavery and in prison, Joseph quickly rose to leadership, having his administrative gifts finely honed in preparation for his destiny as a ruler in Egypt. It's heartbreaking to read what happens after he interprets Pharaoh's butler's dream and gets him to promise to speak about him to Pharaoh when he's restored to his old job. The butler gets restored, just as Joseph predicts, and promptly forgets all about Joseph. We could be tempted to think, what a piece of bad luck for Joseph. But luck had nothing to do with this. The Heavenly Father, as a wise farmer, saw that the grain was not yet ripe and refused to put in the sickle. 2 years later, Pharaoh goes to bed and has a pair of very strange dreams that obviously mean something significant. When the butler hears about the dreams, Joseph immediately comes to mind. He tells Pharaoh of the young Hebrew man with the strange ability to interpret dreams. At this point, we once again see the principle of slow and fast. To Joseph, the last 13 years must have seemed like an eternity. If anyone could have accused God of being slow, certainly Joseph seemed to have the right. But notice what the inspired scripture says about how Joseph was brought out of the prison to meet with Pharaoh and his date with destiny. The Bible tells us, "Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon. And he shaved, changed his clothing, and came to Pharaoh." Joseph became the proverbial overnight success in Egypt. Quickly he was shaved, quickly he changed his clothes, and quickly he went from prisoner to ruler. The grain had ripened, and immediately the sickle was applied. In our fast-paced world, we shudder at the thought of lengthy waits for any good thing. And if we're in situations that are downright unpleasant, we'll make great effort and pay any price to extract ourselves. But God has very definite ideas about what is best for His children, and all of our pleadings and ingenuity will not change His mind about the time necessary for us to stay in our present situations. One of the main reasons God seems so slow to act has to do with His desire to build character in us. We'd love it if character could be instantly applied through a miraculous heavenly zap, or perhaps the laying on of hands. But character has never come that way. Paul tells us that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character. Most of us don't especially like the word perseverance. It implies a lengthy time in situations that are less than ideal. Vacations in Hawaii don't require perseverance. It takes no perseverance to watch a great movie. Perseverance is needed when things aren't going so well. Thus, the slowness of God. But our Father is not only slow, He can also move with blazing speed. The reason for this is His great love. God may find it necessary to subject His children to unpleasant or unexciting seasons for the building of character, but once His object is accomplished, He can and will move quickly to bring that season to an end. As any loving father, He'll never subject us to pain or pressure 1 second longer than is necessary. Thus, the speed of God. When we understand the ways of God, we can more fully cooperate with His program in our lives. And we can have the patience to allow God time to do all that He desires to do in us. A man about to enter brain surgery would be most foolish to insist that his surgeon finish within an allotted amount of time. To arbitrarily fix a one-hour time limit on the surgeon would be the height of insanity. Let that surgeon take as long as he needs. If he's especially careful and methodical, well, all the better. Far better to have an extra hour in surgery than to live a lifetime with the consequences of a hurried procedure. Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again, not only to provide the forgiveness of our sins, but also to reproduce His character in our lives. Having trusted in Him for salvation from the wrath of God, we can also trust Him as our great sanctifier. Whether He appears to be moving slow or fast, we can be sure that He's always moving at just the right speed.